Well, good morning. Close the curtains to 2019, and we've started a brand new year. Isn't this great? I know some of you have had a difficult year last year. I was talking to Clay before services. He had a difficult year last year, and he said, I'm ready for 2020. And so I asked him how he was doing today, and he said, it's already better. So for some of us, just closing the curtains on last year and bringing in the new year, it's just a good feeling. It's just a good feeling to start something new. I want us to think about what Paul said for a few moments this morning when he said, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. I want to talk a little bit about making the most of every opportunity. I want to start by using a psalm, though, to really think about what Paul is saying. Psalm 90, verse 12, and so we will look at that psalm as we begin this morning. And really, this is the heart of the lesson. And I think this is a lot of what we see in the New Testament. Don't forget, the same God who wrote the Old Testament wrote the New Testament. And so sometimes when you see things in the New Testament, God said that in the Old Testament too. And this is one of those times where we see a little bit of input from God about a specific verse. Remember, the best commentary on Scripture is Scripture. And so this is one of those verses where the psalmist is making a plea to God. So teach us to number our days that we may gain or present you a heart of wisdom. We want to give God a heart of wisdom. And we want God to teach us to number our days. I want to think about a bank account for just a few moments. Wouldn't you love this? I got to thinking about this. I would love this. Every day, brand new. Every day, we had in our bank account $86,400 placed in our bank account every day. Now, honestly, how awesome would that be? That would be pretty awesome. You know, I know we throw that word awesome around, like everything's awesome, right? You know, that tree's awesome. You know, the beautiful sunset's awesome. You know, my preacher's awesome. You know, we throw that word around a lot, right? But that would be awesome. Okay, that would be awesome. 86,400. But the contingency would be that you have to spend it all in one day. Now, that would be fairly tough, but I would like to try. Okay, I'm going to be honest. I would like to try that, all right? $86,400 every day. You can't carry it over. You know, there's no overdrafts. There's no borrowing from the next day. I mean, every day, bam, you look. I've got mine on my, I can tell you exactly how much money I have in my account, which is not much. I check it every day. Okay, every morning you wake up, you put your little thumbprint on your phone, you look, and it pulls up your bank statement, and there it is, $86,400, just like it was the day before, and as you assume it will be the next day. Well, while that's a little bit fictitious, it is true that we all get 86,400 seconds every day. And you can't carry it over, and you can't borrow from the next day. No overdrafts with time. And so time is the same for every one of us. And while it's interesting to see how we would spend $86,400 every day, and it would be different for all of us, we're not the same, we're different, we have different likes. I mean, some of you crazy people would actually spend money going to watch a Texas A&M game, right? I mean, go figure. Now, some of you A&M graduates are going, okay, I hate this guy already, you know. That's okay. But the same is true with time. We all spend our time in different ways. I think I get what Paul's saying. And I think Paul understands a little, not only what he's saying because he's inspired by the Holy Spirit, but I think if he, as I would assume, is a good student of the Word, he knows this principle in Psalm 90, verse 12. And I think it just makes a lot of sense for us to make the most of every opportunity that we can, because time is limited. The most precious commodity that you own is your time. And it has value. It means something. If you think it doesn't mean anything, let the preacher go over an hour or two And time, you're going to see, wait a minute, time has value, time means something. And so I think what the psalmist is saying, he's giving us two very, very simple points to really focus on, to kind of embrace and to think about. I don't think this is a very difficult psalm in Psalm 90 verse 12. You know, he's very, very simply put, it's straightforward. So let's think about it for a few moments. Let's think about what the psalmist is saying. Number one, I think he's saying this is a necessary request. Like it's just valid. It makes sense, right? Teach us to number our days. This is just a necessary request. Well, why is it necessary for us to number our days? Well, we don't normally live each day to the fullest. I don't think it's just within us to think about that. Now, that's why the psalmist, I think, is saying, teach us. This is something we need to be taught. I think all of us, how many of you have made the statement, I just let time get away from me today? Right? We say that, don't we? I just let time, I mean, you look and the day is almost over and you go, what did I do today? Well, not a whole lot, you know. It just kind of got away from me. Well, teach us to number our days so that we can value our time and those days don't slip away from us. They're going to on occasion, but maybe not as often as you start to learn about the importance of time and the brevity of life, and as we start to grasp a little bit about what God wants us to do with our days, teaching us to number our days, we just see this is a very valid request. It's just a very straightforward, simple, necessary request. But it's important for us to do that because we don't normally live that truth every day. The truth of the fact is life is brief. It's very brief. It appears like a vapor, James says, and then what? Vanishes away. It's gone. I was thinking just this past week about, not just here, but friends and family members from other church families I've been a part of, folks who are no longer with us this year, you know. And it's that truth is so valid that life is very, very short. We need to learn the important truth that life is short. And God needs to teach us every day the blessing of taking advantage of our time. What do we say? We say, you know, just go out and live life to the fullest because YOLO, right? You only live once, right? Well, there's some truth to that. But it's not just live life haphazardly because you only live once. It's take advantage of the time that God has blessed you with because every day, 86,400 seconds for each of us. And each second that ticks on the clock, we are a day closer to meeting our Lord. Each day we're a day closer to heaven. Every day, the Apostle Paul says, we're nearer our salvation than when we first begun. That's true. That's true every moment, every second of every day. And so we need to learn this. It is true that we only live once. But how many people die every day? Someone said one out of one. That's true, right? One out of one people die every day. You're going to die. You're thinking, man, what a New Year's sermon, right? What a downer. I went to church and he told me I was... But that's the truth. What is the Hebrews 9:27? It is appointed for man once to die, and after this, the judgment. It is true. I got to thinking about this, so I did a little search. Do you realize if the sermon today is 26 minutes, that's what some of you are praying for at least, if it's 26 minutes, there are 1,560 seconds in that 26-minute time period from when I started preaching to when hopefully I end. Okay, and if that's true, according to the basic stats for how many people die each day in the U.S., now we're not talking worldwide, we're just talking about in the U.S., that means that every 12 seconds, someone's going to die. In the course of this 26-minute sermon, 130 people will die in this particular time span in the U.S. I want to tell you, life is short. Life is short, and we need to understand that we are not promised tomorrow. There are no promises for tomorrow. That's why Paul would make statements like in 2 Corinthians 6, this is the day of salvation, right? Today's the day. There's no promises for tomorrow. We can't borrow from tomorrow. We only have today 311 people per hour. We started this hour of worship, and when it finally concludes, 311 people will die in the U.S. Today, on this day, 7,453 people will die today. It's interesting, maybe so for me, because I would say that I may be in cemeteries more than many of you, with graveside services and so on. Just thinking back, as I start to walk through some of those cemeteries, and as I was thinking back, I realized those dates are getting closer. And the reality is that they're getting closer to my time. It's not that they're just old dates anymore. Now those dates are people within my time frame. And I know that there are many of you who are older than me. In just a couple of months, I will be 48. Some of you are a lot older than 48. Well, not a lot older. A little bit older than 48. I'm going to get myself in trouble here. And I know that you start to see that reality too. But it's a reality. Every day that we have, every second that ticks off the clock, we're a day closer to leaving this world. And again, it is a biblical truth. This is a reality. So we're asking God to teach us to number our days. This is a necessary request. But as we think about this necessary request, we must also recognize the brevity of life. Life is short. I was talking to Stan Dowk. You remember Stan, who preached our gospel meeting. Talking to him last night, he called me, and just in the course, we talk at least once every 2 days. We talk every couple of days, and we talk at length about ministry and about life. And he was telling me, he said, we had a mutual friend from Missouri, and he was not a faithful member of the church. And he said, I went to visit him in the hospital yesterday, which would have been Friday. And he said, I went to visit him in the hospital Friday. I learned he was in the hospital. He had a staph infection, started to get the beginnings of pneumonia. He was in the hospital. And he said, when I got to the hospital, he said, his wife reminded me, now don't press him, Stan. You know, he doesn't like to talk about some of this stuff. And so Stan's one of those. He wants to talk to people about salvation. He wants to, you know, especially if you're in the hospital, you never know what's going to happen. And so Stan said that he told me, he told his wife, yeah, I will be careful. I just want to pray with him. Goes in, prays with him, goes home. And from the time he left, it wasn't very long till that individual passed away. Had a blood clot in his lungs, passed, and in just a few moments, passed from this life to the next. Stan said, it's not up to me. I don't know anything about his spiritual condition, but I know that he wasn't faithfully living for the Lord, and that's between him and God. But he said, I just couldn't get it out of my mind that here's a life that went into the hospital with staph infection, never thought that they would not leave the hospital. And how many occasions have we heard like that? How many people go to worship on any given Sunday thinking that they're doing the thing that God wants them to do, and they are, and then they never make it home? That's a reality, that life is brief. Teach us to number our days. That's one of the things we're asking God. This is a necessary request. When I learn that, when I recognize the brevity of life, when I learn this important truth, I make the most of every day. I'm gonna live it up to the fullest in the way that God wants me to. When I learn this important truth, I cherish my relationships. I look at my family. I squeeze their hands a little tighter. I give them a few more hugs because I don't know what life's going to bring for them or for me. And it helps me to cherish my relationships. When I learn this important truth, I cling to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, because He is the one that I will answer to. He is the righteous judge. When I really grasp this important truth, I live every year, every month, every week, every day, every hour, every second to honor God. It makes us realize that we will, in a very short time, stand before a holy God. And we need the blood of Jesus to help us as we stand. And then number two, I see that not only is it a necessary request, it's a very purposeful request, right? I mean, there's meaning behind this. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. There's something in it for us. There's purpose in it for us. Now, I want you to turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. How can I gain a heart of wisdom? And I believe the proverb writer gives us a little insight to this very important question. I mean, how does this happen? Well, notice in verses 1 through 7, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. I'm going to increase my learning, I think specifically in the Word of God. I'm going to increase my counsel. I'm going to talk to God, and I'm going to talk to the people of God, right? To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Here it is, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, or the beginning of wisdom. Having a healthy respect for God. Fear is a heavenly reverence for God. Now, there is this aspect to it, if you will, where we know that God will punish those who are unrighteous. He will punish us if we are not living faithfully for Him. We kind of get that, but this is more, I think, the idea of a healthy reverence. Not so much a fear of what He will do if I disappoint Him or disobey Him. Certainly that's a part of it. But rather a fear that I might dishonor, disappoint, or disgust my Heavenly Father. I mean, think of it this way. How many of you have disappointed your earthly dad, your earthly father? Did you feel good about that? When you knew that your actions disappointed him, you were embarrassed. I mean, there was some shame involved, right? There's that feeling, that sense of guilt. I did this, and he knows I did it. I know he's disappointed, and it never feels good. There's one way to look at it. Yeah, I'm a little worried because dad's going to punish me. That's one way to look at it, that there's a fear factor in the fact that I'm going to get punished for it. But I think more so the side of it that I love God so much, I don't want to disappoint Him. I fear Him in the sense that I don't want to embarrass Him in any way. I don't want to put Him to shame because as His son, I have done this thing, dishonored Him in this way, said this thing that put an obvious spin on it that I am not living in the way that He wants me to. And so there's two ways of looking at this, and I choose to look at it from the perspective, and both are included in the idea of fear, but I choose to look at it as living life in a way that does not disappoint Him or does not dishonor Him or does not in any way disgust my Heavenly Father. So not only how can I gain a heart of wisdom, but why? What's the importance of it? Why gain it now? Well, why gain a heart of wisdom right now? I can tell you that if we let the senior members in this audience stand up and speak about life and about how quickly life leaves us, they could tell some really interesting stories. Just this past Wednesday evening, Sister Janice Blue told me that life passes by quicker as you get older. She said that to me Wednesday night. We're talking about the new year. And that's so true. That's why it's important right now. If I keep putting it off, you know, I've got more time to do that. I've got more time to grow. I've got more time to learn. I've got more time to dig into the wisdom of God. I've got more time to tap into the wisdom and counsel of concerning the people of God. I'll eventually get there, but just not today. I want to tell you, for a lot of people, that day never comes. That's why it's important now. That's why it's important to gain a heart of wisdom now. I mean, you're not going to stay young forever. It's just hard for me to believe. Now get this. 30 years ago, well, I'll be 48, as I said, in a couple of months. 30 years ago, I stepped onto the campus at Crowley's Ridge College as a freshman. 30 years ago. It is hard for me to believe that. I was just in putting this lesson together. I'm thinking, I am not that old. 30 years ago. Graduated high school, stepped on the campus of Crowley's Ridge. Greatest blessing in Christy's life, mind you. But nonetheless, it was a long time ago, right? We're not going to be young forever. Ecclesiastes 12:1. What does the Ecclesiastes writer say? Remember now your Creator in the days of your, help me out, in the days of your youth. Now, because mainly you forget when you get older. I'm getting to that point. As one of the, Richard Taylor in one of my Bible classes at Chisholm Hills, he was trying to recall a Bible verse and he said, my forgetter is getting better every day. And there's some truth to that, right? There's some truth to that. We're getting older. Teach us to number our days, to remember our Creator in the days of our youth before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. You know, people would say, I was talking to over the Christmas break, over the Thanksgiving break, I actually went in. Julianne's working in a jewelry store in Arkansas, and so the manager of that jewelry store, though, is a guy who went to school with Christy. He was a couple of years younger, and about the time that I was playing basketball at Crowley's Ridge College, and he told my kids, he told Sam and Julianne, he said, your dad was so cool. And they looked at him and said, what? I said, yeah, I said, your dad was an awesome basketball player. And Sam was like, really? I've played against him, you know. I was looking at him, I was like, Jason, just give it up. They're not going to believe you. Just let it go, right? I mean, what we were 30 years ago and what we are now are two totally different people. What do we say? We say things like, he's just a shell of himself. Because as we get older, it's important to gain a heart of wisdom right now. As we get older and as we get further away, there's a lot more to cause our hearts to be hard, to cause us to grow cold, and that's why it's important today. Don't waste your time in front of a screen. Now, over the time, screens have changed, right? It's changed from the, what they call it, the boob tube, right? That's okay. That's what they called it. And how many people wasted their time in front of a television with show after show after show? And we called it entertainment, right? And then it went from that kind of screen to computer screen. And then it's like we couldn't get enough sitting at a desk. We were thankful for those laptops and those tablets. We could just sit in bed and just peck away and look away and shop away and surf away. And now, what is it? Now, honestly, even in the course of this sermon, I'm not naive, right? Did you realize we were videoing you today? We know every single person that clicked on a website during the course of this sermon. And Brock has texted me the information. Brock, thank you. So let's call the names out real quick. Some of you are going, no way! They can do that? No, we can't. But you know what we will do? We'll spend our time right here. Can you believe what she wore in that picture? I get sick of seeing her and her family. I mean, this is what we're doing. We're just social media ourselves to death. Scrolling away. Oh, I got to put this out there. I'm just as guilty. We're all in this thing together, right? Teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Are we getting smarter with our smartphones? Probably not. In the course of this sermon, again, think about it. How many people, do you remember the number? You're right, Jim. 130. Thank you for paying attention, belling them out. It's all dependent on you today, brother. Don't waste your time. Jesus is the supreme example for all of us, right? In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible very simply just says, he went about doing good. Now think about that. Went about doing good. How long did Jesus live? 33 short years. Most of us have that time beat already. And you say, yeah, but he was God. okay? Don't look at the miracles. Don't listen to the teachings. Just look at how he touched the lives of people. That didn't take anything miraculous. It didn't take heaven coming down to smile at a soul, to give a hug, someone who's hurting to embrace for just a few moments and listen, like the woman at the well in John 4. Just let's spend our time. Let's make the most of every opportunity. Let's spend our time making a difference in this new year. We've got the whole year in front of us. And we all have the same bank account. And as was prayed a few moments ago, we all have talent, as Tommy prayed. Help us to understand the talent that God's blessed us with and use it for His glory in the church. See then that you walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. God's given us today. No promises for tomorrow. If you need to make your life right with Him, whether if you're a child of God and you need to come and confess or share something that's on your heart with one of our elders and have them pray for you, they're willing. Or if it's to respond in faith to Jesus Christ, to what He did on the cross by hearing John 8:24, and believe Romans 10:17, believing John 8:24, confessing Matthew 10:32 and 33, repenting Luke 13:3 and 5, and being baptized Mark 16:16. If that's your response this morning, today is the day of salvation. Come as together we stand and sing.